right, how's it going? What's everybody doing? What you up to? Yeah, not much here. Same old crap. Different day. You know how it goes. So, a little bit of an update. I'm going to be doing some testing of the Shure MV88 microphone. So, I picked one up on Amazon. I should be getting it in the next week or so. Well, the next few days, probably. But it's the condenser mic that plugs directly into the iPhone. So in lieu of being able to do these podcasts whenever I feel like it, I'm going to go ahead and put my money where my mouth is and try that particular microphone, portable microphone, out and see if I can do some more podcasting from a remote perspective rather than having to wait till I get home or the weekends or whenever I get a chance to get everything set up in the DAW in my studio and actually do these podcasts. So I think that'll, we'll see how it sounds. Hopefully it'll sound pretty close to as good as the MV or the SM7B that I'm using right now, but we'll see. I can't imagine that a little mic I plug into my iPhone is going to sound as good as a full-sized studio level microphone, but we'll see. Maybe it will. I don't know. but yeah, so I picked that up. I finally made the plunge or took the plunge and I decided I wanted to do that. So yeah, let's get into our topic of the day here. Before we do that, you guys ever have a day where no matter what you do, everything seems to be the wrong thing? I'm having one of those days today, just so you know. So I guess what I wanted to talk about a little bit today was expectations and accountability. I probably have brought this up in other episodes, but being that I'm in a new position at a new company and everybody's new to me, obviously, some of the people are even new to the organization itself. I've been really trying to employ a process, working with everyone, where we set an expectation and therefore along comes accountability. I think that at least my philosophy on this, and I'm sure it's not unique or original, but I feel like you have to tell people what you want from them before you can hold them accountable for things that they've potentially done incorrectly. So if I don't tell you what I want you to do or set the expectation, then how do I then come back to you and try to hold you accountable for said expectation that's never been set? I also firmly believe in setting people up for success, you know, giving them the tools that they need to succeed in achieving the expectation so that the accountability can be praise, not counseling or coaching. Now, I don't think that counseling or coaching is a bad thing necessarily, but typically it is in reference to, I guess, you missing the mark on something and not achieving the set forth expectation, or perhaps the expectation that was never set forth. I mean, I found myself in lots of positions throughout my career where there have been no expectations set. Everything was just a given, if you will. And then people would come and try to pin things on you that you didn't do. And it's like, well, you know, I actually have even lost a job based on lies like that. I was terminated from a position like 15 years ago where they were making things up. No, maybe it was like more like 20 years ago, but it was a while ago. But they just made things up. They literally fabricated untruth and used that against me. Because there was no expectation, there was no real accountability. It was just whatever the whim of this person was, and they didn't like me, I guess, so they were just going to get rid of me by what, you know. I mean, the guy literally said to me, "I don't care that you're right, you're fired anyway." I was like, what do you mean? How are you going to fire me if I'm telling you that what I did was the correct thing and you agree, but you don't care, you're going to fire me anyway? So I think from my own experiences that it's very important that we set the expectation and that we take a position of setting people up for success, not for failure. And, you know, you could always say, well, I don't set people up for failure. Well, if you don't set them up for success, what are you setting them up for? Meaning if you do nothing, then you've set them up to fail. Whether you think you've done that intentionally or not, you have by default because you haven't set them up for success. And if, you know, of course, this all goes back to, this is actual work. You have to actually do stuff for things to change and for processes to be executed and for progress to be achieved. You have to actually do the work, right? So we were in a meeting, you know, we're having some challenges with some of the processes that don't exist. And rather than, you know, pointing out that, well, let's just blame someone because they're not, they haven't done their job and gotten us up to speed with where we need to be. Let's take a step back, take a breath and go, okay, what is the problem? And let's assemble a group of people, not just pin it on one person. Let's assemble a team and attack this. And that's exactly what we did. We set up a meeting. Four people were in the meeting. And we walked away. It was ultimately, it was a working session. I like those meetings better. I'd rather not, ironically, you know, because I'm such a windbag and I talk so much. But ironically, I really do prefer to have meetings that are productive and where we actually work on something. And also have takeaways. In the EOS system, it's called a to-do. Like, I have something to do. So it's good to have actionable items when you're in a meeting. Because it makes the meeting more meaningful, in my opinion. And I'm not saying to make up things just for the sake of having them. I'm saying you should have enough quality in your meetings that you have things that come out of them that are actionable from other people that are a part of the meeting, or even people that aren't part of the meeting potentially might need to do something. But the underlying point here is that you actually have to do the work. That's, I think, what escapes so many places that I've been, is that they want to just say, they want to do the easy part, right? They want the easy way out. They want to just say, yeah, we talked about this and then we're done. Well, no, you talked about it and now there's all this stuff that came out of the conversation and the discussion that now needs to be done. It needs to be worked on. It needs to be finished, completed, executed, whatever you want to call it. Excuse me. But yeah, it's that kind of approach that really eludes and escapes the phonies. So if you're wondering if your organization or the people you're working with or for are real or fake, there's a very simple way to validate this. Just see if, do they actually do the work, or did they just talk a good game and then do nothing? Because the problem is in execution, right? That's really where everything lies, is that, yeah, we're all faced with problems and there's challenges each and every day in our lives. And if you do nothing about them, nothing changes. Or very little changes over a very long period of time. But if you want to affect change, you actually have to affect change by doing something. And I know I'm getting repetitive and cyclical in saying this, but it's such an important point, and there's so much emphasis on it that I can't overstate it enough, in my opinion. It really is so critical that you not only identify the issues, but then you go work on them. And that's the hard part. And that's, you know, arguably the part that people just want to avoid, because you actually have to do work. So like it or not, I force people to suffer through working sessions like this, where we're going to sit in a room until we solve this problem. Like it or not, because you haven't been able to solve the problem on your own, which is, that's fine. Understandable. Sometimes that happens. I'm not, you know, shooting you in the leg because of that. But that doesn't change the fact that we have to solve the problem, right? We still have to do it. So let's get the right people in the room and spend a few hours and work on this until we get it where it needs to be. And, you know, a perfect example, is that we did that on Friday. We spent a little over 2 hours, four of us squirreled away in a meeting room, and we knocked out a rather large undertaking that was a complete shit show. It was just a mess. And it was no one's fault. I mean, it probably was someone's fault, but they aren't there anymore. So ultimately, it's no one's fault. And it's to some degree, I guess you could argue that it's not unfair that the person that replaced that person that's no longer there, it is their responsibility to get this where it needs to be. But if they're not able to do it, you don't just hold people accountable and then bury them. No, let's make a concerted effort. Let's actually solve the problem. I mean, would you rather spend your time holding people accountable and writing them up and doing counseling and performance improvement plans and all this bullshit to try to get rid of somebody? Or would you rather try to set them up for success and actually have them contribute and execute and do the things that need to be done? Sometimes people need help, and there's nothing wrong with that. Assemble a team of people, get the right frame of mind in the room, and now divide and conquer. And that's exactly what happened. There was one individual that had a lot of expertise, that had a lot of insight into what we were trying to work on. There was another individual that was doing stuff kind of as things came up. They were able to go do those things independently while we were in the room. And then there was the individual who was really working on the bulk of the work with the expert. And I was facilitating and breaking the ties, I like to say, in that when we have a dispute or a discussion or people don't know what to do, I'm the one that makes the decision that, okay, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. Because definitively, you have to have someone that's able to make a decision in every meeting. Someone has to be the leader of the meeting, right? And that was my role in this particular meeting, was just to facilitate and coordinate and make decisions when needed, when there was a stalemate or, you know, sides were opposed or people just didn't know what the answer was. I have to be the one to be the leader in that case and say, yeah, this is what we're going to do, and prove the fail fast methodology, right? Because another thing that I like to preach is fail fast, which means if you don't know the answer, try something. Don't just tell me you don't know and you've done nothing. Try something. If you don't know, that's fine. I don't know a lot of things. Give something a try. Don't just sit there and do nothing and tell me you don't know and that's why there's no solution. Do something wrong. You know, there was a guy that I used to work with, and it was such a funny thing. And he used to tell me this story about this boss he used to have. He's like, Garrett, this guy always used to come up to me, and he was a contractor. So he worked on construction sites and job sites and that. And I guess his foreman always used to hate the fact that guys were just standing around doing nothing. So he always would come up to him and be like, dude, just do something, even if it's wrong. Don't just be standing there doing nothing. Do something, even if it's wrong. And whether that guy was, you know, brilliant or was just a goofball and didn't realize what he was saying, what he was really describing there was fail fast. The trial and error methodology that I talk about quite a bit here, where you get into something, and if you don't know the answer, you have to do something, right? If you don't know the answer, the reality is you have to do something, and it's very likely that it's going to be the wrong something, but that's okay, because you've now learned that, okay, that is not the answer. Let's not do that. And you'll file that away in your mind or on a piece of paper or in a document and say, well, we tried this, that didn't work. Move on to the next idea. So that didn't work. Let's hope that led to another thought in your mind that says, okay, so if that doesn't work, let's try this next thing. Oh, okay, that didn't work, but it was a little bit better. But now that I've done two things, I've learned a little bit more. And I think this third thing will actually be the solution. And now you have some level of confidence, some level of fortitude with regard to the decision you're going to make, which, you know, secretly kind of helps things succeed anyway, even if they're unsure. If you feel confident about something and exude confidence, chances are it's going to have a greater chance for success than if you're just flailing about, right? If you can remain calm in a panic situation, you have a lot greater chance for a positive outcome than a negative outcome, right? That's just reality. So in this case, you know, now maybe on your third iteration through, you're going to get it right. But you have to have done something. You can't just sit there and do nothing. You have to do the work, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not getting what I'm trying to say here, you have to do the work. It's critical. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. Many a day did I wish that there was some other way that these things would get solved, but unfortunately, that ain't the way it works, kiddies. You have to do some kind of, it's just like, you know, I mean, maybe you're not a math person, and nor am I, but think about, like, if you don't know how to solve a math problem, and you just sit there and look at the problem on the page, and you don't take a stab at it, how likely are you to get the answer? You know, completely, it's 100% chance of failure. right? But if you start screwing around with it and you know, try to work your way through it, even if you're doing it wrong, I mean, at least you're making an effort and you're making forward progress, and maybe something will click in your head and your mind, and it'll help you move in a better direction and go, oh, you know, that was wrong. Let me back up and erase that. And let me start over and try this. And you have to do those kinds of things each and every day. It's really important, but it's so important when you're trying to set someone up to succeed over the easy route, which is just to hold them accountable and say they suck, right? I mean, that's what it ultimately comes down to is, are you willing as a leader, as a manager, as a supervisor, as a director, whatever you are you willing, as a coworker, as a peer, are you willing to write your peer off or your direct report off? Or are you willing to do the work, roll up your sleeves, you know, as you will, if you will, and get in there and do the work with them? Now, I sat in this meeting for 2 hours. Theoretically, I didn't need to be there, but logically, I needed to be there, right? I mean, what I mean is that I was not bringing technical acumen to this meeting. I'm not familiar with this system. I don't know it. I'm not an expert. So I'm not bringing the expertise in how to do this task that we were trying to solve. What I brought to the table was the leadership component. And it's a silent background kind of thing. It's as if you're like a cheerleader and you're just kind of there in the background whispering to people and kind of pushing them in a direction. And when they get stuck and want to give up, picking them back up and helping them forward, dusting them off, let's keep moving forward. That kind of stuff is really, really important. And I think that a lot of people really forget how critical that component to a relationship and building a relationship with people and teams and organizations really is. You really can't give that enough credit. Someone has to be there to positively motivate people and support them and make them feel okay when they feel lost. You know, I could have, like I said, I could very easily have just written someone off and said, well, you're not doing your job. You're failing at this. Now we have a problem. Instead of saying, okay, you're not able to do this. You haven't solved this problem. Let's figure out who we need to bring in and let's get this thing going. So what did we do? We did exactly that. We engaged people around us that were greater experts that had the ability to really take this to the next level. We worked and shared the work, the burden of the work together. We all worked on it. People learned. People built relationships. This is what it's all about. This is how these water cooler kind of moments happen, is you have to really dig in with people, get in the trenches, and do the work together. And now we're going to be set up for success because I've engaged the vendor of this product who has subject matter experts that can help us fine-tune everything that we've done now that we've gotten things in much better condition than they were even a week ago. But again, it comes back to doing the work. You have to do this kind of work. And I guess that's what's meant, at least that's my interpretation of what's meant by you have to love the process or you won't really be fulfilled in what you're doing, because the process is what you're going to be doing the majority of the time you're working. So if you don't like the process, you're in the wrong role. You're in the wrong career. You need to find something where you like the process. You like troubleshooting. You like problem solving. You like coming up with the answers. You like being in difficult circumstances where you don't know what to do. If you don't like to do that in this particular example, you're in the wrong place. You need to go find a job that's kind of repetitive and recurring in its tasks, where you just do the same thing every day and there's no expectation that you have to solve any problems because you just do the same thing every day. You know, maybe that's more of an assembly line or a factory type job where you're working in a repetitive manner. Now, I wouldn't suggest that anyone go down that road because, again, I also believe that automation through technology is going to replace all of that at some point. So any repetitive task that a human being is doing is going to be done by a machine at some point. And that machine will be run by AI or automation or at minimum some type of coding. So if you have that mindset where you're going to just go do that kind of thing, it might be more difficult as time passes to find careers in those positions because they're just going to vanish to AI. That's what robotics is going to take over for us, are all these mundane kind of processes. So I would encourage you to get on board with, you know, where things are today in society, especially in technology, and, you know, really embrace the process and love the process enough where you contribute to it. And that's one of my other things that, you know, I really try to stress and emphasize with everyone that I work with, is that even if you don't know what you're doing and you lack the skill set, have the right attitude, and without question, take the initiative. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Don't just sit there and contribute nothing and be silent. I personally have such a pet peeve about that. That's so irritating to me. Now, I'm not looking for someone that's a blabbermouth that's just blah, 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 about everything. I'm talking about, you know, quality contributions to a topic. Don't just talk for the sake of making noise. That's not what I mean. That's what I do. Just kidding. But sometimes I do. As you can well imagine with these monologues where I barely take a breath between all of the nonsense that comes out of my mouth. But my point is, you need to take the initiative as well. So you have to do the work. Part of the work is initiative. Part of the motivation is the initiative to want to solve the problem, to want to contribute, to want to be heard, to want to have a voice. Some of the greatest places that I've ever worked in my career has been with people where you had to battle to get your idea on the board because everyone contributed and everyone had initiative. I mean, that may sound like, oh no, that's terrible. No, it was amazing because the greatest ideas would come out of meetings and discussions and roundtables like that because everyone was contributing. So if somebody had a partially really good idea, the other person that was waiting to contribute or other people that were waiting to contribute would immediately latch onto that and go, oh yeah, that's actually really good, but let's take it to the next level because here was my idea. And now we start building this great idea together that we can all execute on. And what you get from that is buy-in. You get vested interest. Right? If people are not contributing to what they're working on, they are not going to give a shit about it. It's just that straightforward. If you just tell somebody to do something and they had no say in it whatsoever, the likelihood of them giving a shit about the outcome is much less than if they had contributed even a tiny amount to the decision and the direction. People want to be heard. They want to be a part of something. They just don't want to be told what to do, right? I mean, it's a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about today is very subtle, but it's very profound in what it, you know, how it shakes things up if you actually do this. And this is one of the biggest complaints I have about the last place that the last position that I held, was that they were all about just saying it and then walking away from it and doing nothing. They did not want to do the actual work. And I've already seen a complete difference in the organization that I work for now, where these people, they want to do the work. They just need someone to point them in the right direction. And that starts at the leadership team and goes all the way down. Everyone here is dying for some kind of leadership to say, okay, this is what we're going to do, whether it's the EOS model of operating that we're going to use for the organization from a leadership perspective, from a methodology standpoint, or if it's technical expertise or just task-driven kind of setting people up for success, as I've been describing, and getting into meetings and working collaboratively and doing all the things that people say they want these cultures, but this is what it actually means. You have to do this. This isn't like, okay, yeah, we talked about it, now go sit in your office and do nothing for 8 hours. No, this is, we talked about it, set up a meeting for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours where we're going to sit in a room until we finish the task. That's what it is. And that's what people get really concerned and scared about, is that they don't know how to do it, they don't feel they're empowered to do it, or there's no one there to lead them down that road. So people like me that are willing, that see it for what it is and understand that the execution is where all the magic lies, right? That's the secret sauce, is ultimately execution. If you want something done, you actually have to do it, right? I can continue to look at my yard and envision it being mowed and manifest mowing and cutting the grass. But until I go and take my fat ass outside, fill up my lawnmower with gas and start the thing and start walking around mowing the grass, the shit ain't getting done, right? It's the same thing. It's just that simple. but you have to coordinate and strategize and execute and make these things happen. They don't just happen on their own. You can sit around and think about great ideas all you want, but if you do nothing with them, all they are is great ideas with potential. But if you do nothing with them, they never manifest into reality. They never become anything. And that's the approach you have to take with everything that you do as a leader or as a supervisor or whatever you are in your life, you know, whatever it is you're trying to achieve. If it's music, for example, I've been talking about that for the last couple episodes. You know, I had to go in myself. You know, I was bitching at everybody the other day for, you know, go get affiliated with a publishing company. I had 15 songs that I did not, because I got lazy and I didn't go have them registered with BMI. So I spent an hour yesterday registering 15 songs with BMI. Right? I had to take my own advice. And sometimes you have to do that, right? Just because I shoot my mouth off trying to tell you what you may or may not know, or you may or may not want to do, I have to do that shit too. It never ends. That doesn't stop just because I'm saying it and I know the answer. You actually have to keep doing this. The fact that you know the answer is the revelation, really, because not knowing means your chances of doing this are zero or very close to zero. I mean, I guess you could get lucky and somehow it just happened, but that's pretty unlikely. But it all comes back to the fact that you have to do the work. there's really no way around that. And I guess if you don't do the work, that is an option, right? You cannot do the work, but you can't really hold an expectation that you're going to achieve any kind of results because you're not doing anything. You know, if I don't go out and mow my lawn, it's not getting mowed. It's just going to sit there with the potential to be mowed and look much better. Now, to be fair, I don't mow the lawn. My wife does, because we have a bit of a battle there and I just refuse to mow the lawn. Kind of a side note there, but in any event, it's still a valid example, right? You can't just look at something and expect something to happen. You have to go put it into motion. You have to take an action. You have to go do something. It means you have to do the work. I can't say that enough times. I know I've said it a lot, but I cannot stress and emphasize that enough. You have to do the work. So if you have good ideas, that's great. Good for you. Now go do the work. If you have something you want to do and you've postulated it in your head and you've concocted some kind of a plan, good. Put it down on paper, then go figure out how to actually do it. That's how people win in this life. It's not about just following orders and doing what you're told. You have to do things and come up with things on your own. Someone may tell you, okay, here's your goal, Garrett, go do this. And you may not know how to do it. So what are you supposed to do? Nothing? No, you have to start figuring out how to do it. And if that means grabbing people and pulling them in and talking and collaborating and communicating and interacting, that's what that means. That's what this culture is built on. That, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit and all that bullshit that you hear people talking about, this is what it really is. You have to get in the weeds, man, and start digging in and do the work, not just sit there and dictate to people what they're going to do and then sit back on your ass and do nothing. You have to be there in the weeds with them doing the work, not that they're doing, right? You have to empower them to do the work, but you have to be there to lead. You have to be there to show the way, to break the ties, to make the decisions that need to be made when they're people can't make the decision on their own because that's not where they are in their lives or their career, right? I'm the leader in this example. I shouldn't expect other people to solve the problem and make the decision alone. They should look to me for the, hey, well, Garrett, this is what we want to do, this or this. What should we do? Well, give me compelling reasons for both thoughts and let's discuss it out loud and let's make an educated decision together. And I will be the final say because I'm the one accountable for all of this, not them. You actually have to prove that to people by doing it that way. You can't just make this shit up and pretend it's real. It's something tangible that you have to do and then prove and then back up and not lie about it. And that's where so many people get stuck in the mud, is that they're full of shit themselves, so they can't actually do what I'm saying because they're not really leaders. They're only leaders by title. They're not actual leaders by internal inspiration and reality. They're just phonies. And again, that's just where I came from, was just a plethora of phonies, just people that just, no matter what was brought up, they just could not do the work. And the entire time I was there, literally nothing changed. And I would argue it actually got worse. And I keep seeing people that are leaving the organization still. So it's not gotten any better. So, I mean, I can look back and say, well, maybe I was the problem. Well, not likely, because, you know, a whole bunch of people have left since I left, and it wasn't because of me. I'm not saying that I left and then that inspired other people to, but I think everyone had saw the writing on the wall and was like, this just isn't for me. These people are all full of shit. They don't tell the truth. They lie about everything, and they never follow through or really back up anything that they say. It's just all a bunch of words. So don't let yourself get caught up in a bunch of words and a bunch of bullshit. Do real things, say real things, think great thoughts, but then go execute on that stuff. Even if it's baby steps, even if you're doing it wrong, failing fast. Don't get all stuck in the mud thinking that you just have to say it and therefore it shall be. That you're not the Almighty. You're just a human being. You have to participate in these things and cultivate these kinds of interactions and relationships and make this stuff happen. It's not going to happen on its own most often. Maybe in a small, highly concentrated environment, it could happen on its own by chance, simply because there's no alternative but for success. Like at the beginning of a startup, for example, where, you know, everybody's literally doing everything because that's just the way it is. That's, you know, you can be successful in spite of yourself just because you've got a great idea that you've put in motion. But when you start, you know, when the dust settles and you start to look at everything, all the real problems that are still there aren't going to go away on their own. You have to get in there and do the work. You have to get in there and be a part of solving the problem. And I believe that starts with setting people up for success through expectation and accountability. That's really what this whole podcast episode was about, setting expectations and holding people accountable. And I know that it always has a negative connotation when you say holding people accountable. It's not negative. Accountability goes both ways. You can be accountable for being wildly successful, just as you can be accountable for being wildly unsuccessful. So I know that there's always a negative connotation with the word accountability, but I don't ever take it that way. It could go either way. It's just whatever the result, the end result actually is. So with that, 32 minutes right on the nose. Thanks for listening. Always a pleasure. If you guys like what you hear, please 5-star me on whatever platform you're listening on. Give me a like, drop me a line on social media. I always like to hear from people. And with that, have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.